to another episode of the Bills Wire Podcast, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Rob Quinn. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Salagi. We've got a new partner at the Bills Wire, Aaron Quinn. You can find him on Twitter at AaronQuinn716, podcast extraordinaire. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. All things considered,
the drought's over. You have to be doing well because we don't have to talk about the drought anymore.
Don't talk about the drought, but similar result. But yeah, we won't get into that right now. There's a lot of things to be optimistic for going forward. We saw the locker room clean out. We heard Eric Wood talking about, you know what, we don't have to talk about the drought anymore. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, he shook everyone's hand, and that is the ultimate sign that the culture is changing, and that is a Super Bowl winning team. If only Joe Saley was here with us to explain what that handshake meant to him, you guys would understand. But Aaron, we're glad to have you on board, podcast extraordinaire, formerly of Locked On Bills, part of the excellent Cover One team. Aaron, why don't you tell us a little about yourself, what you did with Cover One, what you did with Locked On, and what you want to contribute with the Bills Wire in terms of growing our audience on the podcast and the audio platform.
For sure, yeah. No, I helped out over there doing some podcasts. We did a lot of post-game stuff. Almost every post-game this season I was on over there. Lifelong Bills fan, grew up not living in Buffalo. I do live in Buffalo now, season ticket holder, so just super passionate about the Bills. I still am helping out over at Cover One. They do more of the college scouting stuff. I'm not a scout in any way, but I help them out with graphics and stuff like that. Always trying to lend a hand to any Bills fans providing good content, but excited to join this team. I love all the content you guys put out. You see me sharing it if you follow me on Twitter, and Rob and I have been going back and forth here for years on Twitter now, so excited to finally get on the mic and talk Bills with you, man.
I'm just glad you haven't blocked me yet. A lot have.
Honestly, man, I get blocked more than I do the blocking.
Me too. I don't block anybody. I think I blocked two people. The Jarvis Landry fans that are still in my mentions today.
They're rough, man.
Still. Today, I was physically threatened to meet him outside of a Publix in Bradenton, Florida. If anyone knows what that is, don't
let me
know.
That guy's waiting there. Go to that Publix. He's waiting there for Rob.
Give me a chicken tender sub. I've heard they're great. All jokes aside, obviously the Bills season didn't end how we wanted it to. Although, the drought is over. The weight is off of our backs. 17 years. I mean, it's bittersweet when you lose a game like that with all the hype going into it, especially with how they looked in that game. I mean, you could blame Rick Dennison for the play calling, all of that. But Jacksonville's defense, the whole team really, is just, I think they have a chance to make a run. But at the end of the day, you know what? The monkey's off the back. And you can only look at this season as a positive note. I mean, I was emphatic that the Bills would not win more than 5 games this year. And everyone in our Slack group can attest to that. I laughed at anyone who thought they would win 6. And guess what? They won 9. And right. So, yeah, I'm the whipping boy here. And you can make fun of me all you want. But you know what? It's over. The drought's over. It's not a dark cloud hanging over Bills fans. And the future looks bright. I mean, everyone laughed at Sean McDermott when he came in saying, oh, trust the process. But you know what? The players bought in, and eventually the fans brought in. And at the end of the day, the Bills made the playoffs. I don't care what advanced stats say. This might have been one of the worst teams of the drought. But guess what? What teams of those droughts made the playoffs other than this team? So, yeah. Just before we go into our topics today, which will be the biggest questions facing the Bills heading into the offseason. What are your quick overall thoughts on the season, the expectations, and what you expect going forward? I'll start with you, Kyle.
I think, like, everybody pretty much agrees, the Bills definitely overachieved this season. Like most people, I had them winning 5 or 6 games this season. But after they got out to that strong start, I was like, oh, man, a wild card playoff spot could definitely happen. But then the Bills did up, lost 3 straight, and I was like, whatever. And then just kind of everything went their way in the last few weeks, and they found a way to sneak in. And then
with Lafayette Pitts.
With Lafayette Pitts. He is a special teams ace, the new Steve Tasker, calling it now. Needs a 8-year extension right now. But anyway, yeah, they didn't play well in the playoff game. The offense was very bad. But I'm not too upset about that, because just the fan reaction for that whole week was like we won the Super Bowl. Just seeing everybody come together and just, you know, celebrating this playoff team, which is something we haven't had this millennium. It was just... it was truly something special. And I honestly didn't expect them to make the playoffs, so when they did, I didn't want to be too greedy and ask for a playoff win. We didn't get a playoff win, but I'm fine with the playoff appearance, and this is something to build on moving forward, you know, because this will maybe even attract some free agents, just like, well, we were in the playoffs last year. We can build on that, maybe a AFC championship game next year, which a lot's going to have to happen for that to happen. But, you know, this is another selling point for McDermott and his process.
Yeah, and not to cut you off, Aaron, but just the atmosphere in Buffalo for, even if it was 1 week, look what the fans did for Andy Dalton, for Tyler Boyd, getting Aaron Maben, the most hated Bill of the century, attention. This town was in euphoria for that week, and... you can sense that something is brewing here. And whether you want to say, oh, culture isn't real, all these pro football focus, football outsiders, advanced stacks, you cannot measure that. And for a first-year head coach to bring a team together as they did and go to that level, which with a team that's arguably – not that great on paper and go to that level is incredible. So what were your thoughts on that, Aaron?
On the season as a whole, I agree kind of with both of you guys here. I think they totally overachieved. I had them around 7 to 9 wins, but just because I didn't like the way the schedule looked, they lost a bunch of the games that I thought they should have won, and they still even left some on the table that I thought should have been wins right after the game, so they could have won more, so it's a huge overachievement for this roster when you look at it on paper. So that was very exciting, and I think a lot of that has to do with coaching. I know we ripped up the offensive coaching a little bit, but definitely McDermott and the defensive side of the ball overcoached a lot of what they did, and they overhauled an entire secondary in the offseason, and that unit performed top-notch in the league. So definitely some stuff to be excited about. The fan base is re-energized, a lot less of the pessimistic Bills fans here at the end of the year, so that feels good. And I do agree, not having to go into the offseason this year and have every rookie that comes in asked about the drought, something that they're not a part of, they you know, haven't experienced it, that all those questions are out the window and they can just focus on this team.
Yeah, definitely. And that brings us to really the topic we wanted to talk about today. Some of the biggest questions heading into the offseason. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor is the biggest question mark facing the Bills going into this offseason. Obviously, he left the field against the Jaguars in a way that we did not want to see that. It was ugly seeing him laying down the field, stiffened up. But next year... I mean, he has an $18.08 million cap hit. He has a $10 million base salary, yet only $1 million is guaranteed, and he has a $6 million roster bonus and just over $2 million in a prorated signing bonus. Therefore, the Bills have a lot of options with what they can do with him this offseason. Now, in my personal opinion, I do not want this to be a 2013 season where fans are saying Ryan Fitzpatrick has to go. He has to go. We can't keep him on this team. Blah. Okay, you cut Ryan Fitzpatrick. He gives you dead money for the next 2 years. Now, every single team in the league knows your plan. They know you need a quarterback. Buddy Nix gets phone tapped with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers talking about how bad Fitzpatrick is. Then they release him, and they have his dead money for 2 years because they used the post-June 1st designation on him. And it hampered the franchise. I do not see any reason why the Bills should even entertain releasing Tyrod Taylor at all. I mean, if you get blown away with a trade offer for him around the draft or during the draft and you have an opportunity to move up, Kyle brought this up in our chat. And if the Browns wanted Tyrod Taylor and picks to move up so the Bills could take their franchise quarterback, whether that be Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, whatever, then that would maybe make sense. But you do not release a quarterback that's probably top 15 in the league, which that meaning 17 other teams in the league are looking to improve that position. A quarterback is the most important position in sports. And so right now, if you're looking to cut him, you lose all leverage if you do this before the draft or during free agency. Kyle, what are your thoughts on the Tyrod Taylor situation?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. If you cut him now, people look at your roster and say, okay, you have Nathan Peterman, and he's the guy that threw 5 interceptions and a half. So if you want to go into the season with him as a starter, go ahead. I see no reason why you would cut Tyrod Taylor. Because he's a cheap option, and he's a solid quarterback. I think it would be smart of them. I think we can all probably agree that they're going to attempt to draft their franchise guy in this draft, either move up to get him or stay put and pick whatever's left. But I think they'd be wise to go into the season, or at least into training camp, with Tyrod as their guy and then Peterman and whoever. Because Tyrod is a solid starting quarterback. I'm sorry. And that's the big thing about him is a lot of people don't think he's good. But just, I mean, he got us to 9 wins this year. And granted, it wasn't all him, but he was the quarterback of a playoff team. I think that it'd be smart to keep him on the roster, keep him as the starter, and then just develop the quarterback, the franchise quarterback that they draft, keep Taylor throughout the season because he's a cheap option. You know what you're going to get out of him. You're going to get solid play. You're not going to get somebody who's a game changer, but you're not going to get somebody that's going to lose you the game, which is what I would want when I'm developing a franchise quarterback along.
What about you, Aaron?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Obviously, I'm not interested in cutting him, like you said. I think at the least, it's a decent insurance policy where you don't know what you're going to have going into the year, whether you're bringing in a vet, trading for a vet, you know, guys that possibly may hit the market. You just don't know. And by the time that you have to make a decision on him, where you're going to have to pay him something, you might as well keep that insurance policy. I'm fine with if they make a move and do get a vet or feel like they really move up to get their guy, that later trading him after the fact is fine with me if they can somehow get assets. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is an asset to this team as it stands now, and Brandon Bean's an economics guy, he's a money's guy. He's not just going to allow an asset to just go away. He's going to try to get as much as he can in return for that asset. So I don't see him cutting him. And I know there's people talking on Twitter and stuff about Tyrod doing a restructure. I don't see Tyrod doing that for this team, being willing to restructure his deal. That wouldn't make any sense for him and his agent to do. He's kind of got more leverage than the Bills do right now in this scenario.
Exactly. That was Kevin Masseri that brought that up. And he took a $10 million pay cut last year. Why would he restructure again to take less money? I mean, I know he threw for 2,799 yards through 14 touchdowns. So, obviously, those aren't numbers where you gawk at. But how can this regime sell to the fans that this is the quarterback that ended the playoff drought, unless you want to count the 5 interception game by Nate Peterman being the catalyst to this juggernaut that carried the team to the playoffs. I just don't get it. And now there's been some names floating around. Alex Smith. I know Lewis Riddick said that Alex Smith would be high on the Bills' radar. But when I really thought about it, is Alex Smith that much different than Tyrod Taylor?
No.
If they had similar weapons around them?
No.
I mean,
you go into
the game and you have Zay Jones, a rookie, starting, Kelvin Benjamin with half a knee, Brandon Tate as like your number 3, and Deontay Thompson, who's probably a number 4 or 5 on any other roster.
At best.
And he's made plays. I'm not trying to discredit him at all.
But he couldn't even stay on the Bears roster, and they have nobody a wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. You look at the Chiefs, they have Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and just playmakers everywhere. Plus a strong running game and nice offensive line. I just think that Tyrod Taylor is the leverage here. If you look around outside of Bills fans, being the NFL Wire network that I'm blessed to be a part of, I get messages every day saying, what the heck is wrong with Bills fans? Why don't they appreciate what they have? I have people saying, I have Andy Dalton.
I saw people asking for Andy Dalton over Tyrod. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Thank you for that touchdown, but come on. Really?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of people have been talking about Alex Smith this week. I'm not into it at all. I do think he's very
similar
to Tyrod.
He's got 1 year left on his contract. It's the same as Tyrod.
You're going to have to trade
about the same money.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
You have to trade an asset for him, which is not something I don't think Brandon Bean wants to be involved in, is moving an asset for a guy that isn't the answer at quarterback.
I think they're the same player. They're mobile. They can win when things go right. The Chiefs have a strong defense. They usually win when they can run the ball and the defense plays well. Smith, he may be a better passer at times, but he has his struggles just like Tyrod does.
Why not stick with Tyrod?
They both have a year left on their contract. So why not ride with Tyrod, even if you want to draft the quarterback high? You don't want to go back to that 2013 scenario where you cut Ryan Fitzpatrick and then every team in the league knows exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. Trading for Alex Smith would seriously be the dumbest thing this team could do. It just, A, he gets paid more. B, they both have 1 year left on their deal. And as you said, Rob, I don't know how much better of a team the Bills are with Alex Smith, or if they're a better team with Smith than Taylor. It's just, why? And then as you brought up, Aaron, just why would he trade an asset, which honestly the Chiefs would probably be asking for like a mid-round pick, if not a first-round pick for Smith. Why would you trade something like that for a player who you know is only around for 1 year when you have a quarterback of equal talent on a cheaper deal for the same amount of time? It makes zero sense.
Yeah, I mean, especially the Tyrod's a locker room guy, right? So you would also be losing that to gain not really any net gain, in my opinion.
Exactly.
So it just doesn't make sense all around.
All right, so the next. Can the Bills revamp their front seven like they did the secondary last year? Last year, the Bills had Stephon Gilmore.
Darby,
all the other guys.
A
bunch of safeties that just got hurt, replaced. And now they're one of the best secondaries in the league. Outside of Kyle Williams, they had Adolphus Washington, Cedric Thornton, Ryan Davis, Eddie Yarborough. across from Jerry Hughes, who really didn't do too much. Behind them, they had Ramon Humber, Lorenzo Alexander, Preston Brown, and some guy named Matt Milano that was making plays. And all of them could not be with the team next year except Milano. So how do you expect that to work out?
Well, you forgot about Shaq. I think Shaq will be back from injury. Yeah, I think he will. Just because they've got him locked down on a real cheap deal. He actually played well in the run game. He's not going to be a sack monster. I know people have talked about them possibly getting rid of Jerry Hughes. I've talked about it a little bit as maybe like a super shocker, but then they have zero pass rushers on the entire team if they get rid of Jerry Hughes. So that would be a huge blow. But yeah, I don't know how you fix this in 1 year.
Did Jerry Hughes do that much as a pass rusher after week five?
Not as far as legitimate sacks, but I do think pressures on the quarterback.
Pressures?
Do you have numbers? Because I don't.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Because it looked to me like he did get pressures.
I do.
Give them to me.
He had as many pressures in the last 12 games of the season as he did in his first four.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a different defense than the Schwartz defense, which I think a lot of people were expecting him to come out and have that Schwartz type year. Didn't have that. Definitely didn't produce to the way he should. But if you get rid of him, man, who that's just another hole you're creating on that front seven that we're talking about revamping.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not saying Hughes is going to go. I like Yarbrough. I like Davis. I like what they're doing. But the interior defensive line is bad.
Yeah.
And as much as we love Yarbrough, Ryan Davis is good against the run. Shaq's good against the run. They need somebody opposite Hughes, who will be 30, to bring some pressure from the other side. Because they do not have that, and that lack of pass rush was evident as the season went on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Just there were times throughout the season where just watching the game, you're just looking at how much time the opposing quarterbacks have, and you're just like, oh, my God, I've been watching this play for 5 seconds, and he hasn't gotten rid of the ball. What's going on? I really think Matt Milano and Shaq are going to be the only returning starters next year. I think Jerry's going to get cut just because his dead cap. In this offseason, Jerry Hughes' dead cap drops from 16.25 mil to 5.8 mil. And then his base or his cap hit next year is 10.4 mil. So his dead cap drops over $10 million. So they'd save money if they cut Hughes this offseason. And with the production that he gave them this year, I'm not sure if I think they'd value that extra cap space more than they'd value Hughes. And that was kind of McDermott's thing this offseason, is he brought in cheap guys on deals or guys on cheap deals who were productive. So maybe that's what he does this offseason, just finds a few gems that come in and play well.
Yeah, I have a piece that's not up yet, and I talked about, you know, Hughes being a potential cut, but I think we have so many holes already in this front seven. I have a tough time adding more to that because you're only going to be able to get so many guys out of the draft. And while they drafted well last year, only a certain percentage of the draft guys are actually going to, you know, be Matt Milano's and come in and make an impact for you. So it just makes me worried that you're adding just another hole to fill. But I could see some teams wanting Jerry Hughes in a trade. So I don't know if they sign him and then try to move him. A lot of people around the league like Jerry Hughes still.
That's also a good idea, I think. Obviously getting something for him if any team will take him, that's better than just letting him walk for nothing. So, I don't see Jerry Hughes coming back next season just because his production doesn't match his salary, really. And it's just, you know, if you can save money, that's something that this regime has proven they like to do, is get money wherever they can. So if a trade presents itself, I think they'll definitely take it. If not, just let them go.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I guess moving forward, do you see any surprise moves happening? I mean, look at the linebacker core. We have Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander, Ramon Humber, and not much else.
And Preston Brown, he's not coming back.
Yeah. I've been having conversations with his agent. Contract talks seem to have fell apart. They wanted $38 million over 4 years. This is breaking news only if you listen to the podcast. I'm not going to be that breaking news guy, but I have the documents to prove it, and he's not getting it. So apparently he's going to test the market, bring it back to the Bills, as Brandon Bean said. And if it's an offer that they are comfortable with, then they will retain him. But given the fact that he led the NFL in tackles, given his play, I don't think that's somebody that the Bills want. He doesn't have the athleticism that the Sean McDermott defense really needs. I mean, you saw him with Luke Kuechly with the Carolina Panthers. That's just not Preston Brown's game. I mean, he led the NFL in tackles, so obviously he's going to get a lot of looks. Peter King gave him some hype in the Monday morning quarterback. His 144 tackles are nothing to scoff at, but at the same time, I think that Sean McDermott is looking for a more athletic linebacker to man the middle, and I don't think that's Preston Brown. Preston Brown is a good linebacker. No one's disputing that. I just think that he wants his Luke Kuechly. I mean, that's easy to say, hard to find, but I don't think that's Preston Brown. I think this linebacker class coming up in the NFL draft has quality talent. And when you look at the way that the NFL is going, they're going towards smaller, faster, instinctive linebackers that can run and chase. And that's just not Preston Brown. If you go back and pull up the New Orleans Saints tape, Preston Brown was like me playing Madden. Not good. I just don't think that's a guy that you can commit $38 million to, which is what his agent was looking for from my sources. So I just don't see him being brought back, and I think it's a smart move on Brandon Bean and the Bills front office to say, you know what, go see what kind of offers you get in the open market and come back to us with that, and we'll see if we'll match it. Preston Brown, I know that he wants to stay in Buffalo. I talked to his mother, his agent. They want to stay here. But at the same time, obviously, you have to do what's best for yourself. And you know what? I don't think that Preston Brown is a Buffalo Bill next year. So what do they do with the linebacking core?
It'd be nice if our boy Roquan Smith, if somebody started a rumor about him starting about now, and somehow he fell into the 20s. But I don't see that.
I heard he threw a pencil at a kid in like second grade.
I can confirm. Talk to my sources. Yes, yeah. That happened.
Other than that, I don't know. We'll have to look at the linebacking core. I do think there are a few linebackers in the draft that they might be able to get in the first, second round that might not be Roquan Smith type guys, and might not be able to come in and be Kuechly guys, but maybe able to provide more athleticism than Preston Brown gave at that position. And who knows? They might get the another Milano type, you know.
Yeah, talking about Matt Milano, I mean, he was a steal in the fifth round. Absolute stud. I think the future is only going up from here. So the Buffalo Bills have a lot of work to do in the front seven. But I think with this draft class, there's nowhere to go but up. I mean, you have Maurice Hurst, Roquan Smith. But Roquan Smith isn't the only linebacker that's elite in this class. If you look at the way the NFL is trending, it's smaller, faster, physical, and known to get after it. You look at Jerome Carter. You look at Lorenzo Carter. Jerome Baker. They're everywhere. And that's what the NFL is leaning towards. And I don't think Preston Brown fits that. He's a 250-pound middle linebacker. And I know people want to say he's a two-down linebacker. I mean, he can cover a little bit, but $38 million? Come on. I'd rather take my chances on a second rounder where you're going to pay him $4 or $5 million over 4 years than pay $38 million over four. Wouldn't you?
Yes. Very much so. And I think Preston's going to get a decent contract on the open market. And then in that case, I would like the Bills to just say, okay, you go do that. We'll find someone in the draft. And as you said, the NFL is trending towards more athletic guys and at linebacker. And we had like no athleticism at linebacker whatsoever until Matt Milano came in. Then we had a one athletic linebacker. But, you know, Preston Brown, not the most athletic guy. Lorenzo Alexander, his age caught up to him this year. I hate to say it, except for the playoff game, he was all over the place. So if we can get a season like that out of him, where he plays like that every game, yes, sign him. But or he already has a contract. I think he's under contract for next year still. But keep him around and start him. But I'm not ready to look at that playoff performance and then the season he had and say yes, I'm comfortable going into the season with him as our starter. So I think that the team is going to look to get more athletic at linebacker this year, and it starts with getting rid of Brown.
Yeah, I agree. And on the Lorenzo thing, I think that's another guy that could possibly be a cap casualty guy just because of his age and the way, you know, the league's trending. So he might be another guy like that. And this is one of the reasons why I really don't love the idea of the Bills moving up to get their quarterback, because you're going to lose so many assets on a team with so many holes. And I know everybody wants a quarterback, and that's what's going to fix the Bills and be able to win playoff games. But this team's going into the season with more holes than they did a year ago. And I think you're going to need to hold on to some of those picks to fill big key positions like middle linebacker and defensive tackle and things like that.
Yeah, and I totally see that point with the whole the holes. They have a lot of holes, and they most definitely do this. I don't think that there's a position on this team where they can't improve at. It's a weirdly put together team. They signed guys to just fill holes quickly last year, and that's, I mean, we have to fill those holes again this year. The quarterback situation, they do have a lot of ammo to move up this year, and Bean said that they have a lot of ammo. And believe me, I want them to fill holes as much as the next guy. I think the team needs to get better as a whole. But who knows the next time the team's going to have this ammunition, this capital, enough to move up probably to the top five to get a quarterback in a very good quarterback class that could have their pick of the litter. I just think it's really moving up for a quarterback is just really a move that they have to make, because who knows the next time they'll have an opportunity like this.
Josh Rosen.
Unless you're getting Rosen to me, which I don't think that they will even have the capital to get up that high unless people really dislike his attitude and the rumors about his attitude. I don't think they can get that high to get him. That's the only guy I'm willing to get into the top five for.
Are you willing to go top 10, Lamar Jackson, then put him at wideout?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. He's going to be a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Every Twitter egg, and I've learned them to be very credible. If you have a Twitter egg as your avatar, you know what you're talking about.
Or Bill's avatar. Bill's logo.
Egg avatar, Bill's logo. If you're telling me Lamar Jackson is a wide receiver, I'm with you. But that will wrap up another episode of the Bills Wire podcast, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. As always, I'm Rob Quinn. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619 if you haven't blocked me already. Kyle, where can they find you?
I do have you blocked, but you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Selegi.
Aaron Quinn, I know you wouldn't block another Quinn, so where can we find you?
I am at AaronQuinn716, and I'm about to block you as soon as we get out of here.
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, but Kyle, what do you have in store for the Bills Wire? What's your next post?
That's a good question. Hopefully, breaking news, Rick Dennison fired. But until that happens, we'll just see. Just a lot of mock draft breakdowns moving forward we're going to have over there. Maybe some prospect breakdowns, maybe free agent posts
maybe.
What we should do.
Maybe.
We're definitely going to have all
maybe.
Of this stuff.
Don't say maybe.
We're going to have all the stuff I just talked about. And we're going to have the best versions of said content that you can find on the web. Make sure you check out Bill's Wire because we have good stuff.
We have all the stuff. Breaking news, analysis, insight into just about everything. If you want it, we've got it. If you want the X's and O's and everything, check out Cover One. They're great friends of ours. But anything you need analysis-wise, come to BillsWire.com, part of NFL Wire Network. We've got 34 sites from the draft to every single team you like, even those stinking Dolphins, those horrible Patriots, those annoying Jets that think they're going to be good. They're part of the network. So why not follow them all, laugh at them, and, you know, have some fun. But thanks for following along. Before we sign off, make sure that you bookmark BillsWire.com. Connect with us on social media at The Bills Wire on Twitter, on Facebook at Bills Wire. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave that 5-star review. Unsubscribe, subscribe again. Leave another 5-star review. And that'll wrap things up for today. So please give Aaron a warm welcome to joining the Bills Wire podcast team. I'm Rob Quinn. So that'll do it.